Genesis 39, we'll look at verses 20 through 23. This morning we looked at how to live in the presence of God. And tonight we're going to look at how to live in the presence of God when nothing seems to make sense. When nothing seems to make sense. Genesis 39, verse 20, the Bible says, "And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in the prison, but the Lord was with Joseph." Remember, that's a key to all of this. And you're going to find that phrase over and over again through the life of Joseph. "But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison." Verse 22, "And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there was he was a doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper." Father, we do thank you so much for the opportunity to open up your word today and to study the life of Joseph, Lord. What an incredible example for us to see in your word, Father. And we just pray that you would teach us many, many wonderful truths that can really transform our lives, Lord, through the life of Joseph, Father. And Father, just you have your will and your way in our hearts, Father. Help us be receptive to the message, Father. And we do pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I heard of a bricklayer who had too many bricks on top of a building. So he decided to hoist a barrel to the top of the building and rigged a yard arm and a pulley in it and began to fill the extra bricks on top of the building. So once that barrel was full, he went back down to ground level and he untied the knot. Now as he untied the knot, the rope at the bottom of the building, he realized that a barrel full of rocks, of bricks, was heavier than a man. So the bricks went down and he went up. Halfway up, the barrel hit him on the shoulder and it caused great pain. When he got to the very top, the barrel hit the ground on the bottom, smashed open, and the bricks all fell out. Now he was heavier than the barrel. He began to go down, the barrel began to go up, and hit him on the shin on the way up. Then he fell down to the bottom where a bunch of sharp bricks were, and when he hit those bricks, he let go of the rope, and the barrel came down and fell on his head. Now, do you ever feel like that man? I mean, you're going up and down, you don't know whether to hold on or to let go, and you're being hit from every side. Now, this man was the cause of his own problems, wasn't he? But what do you do when you're doing everything right and that happens? When you're doing everything right and it still seems that nothing makes sense. We have a lot of cliches that people would give us in these situations. Some would say at the end of, when you get to the end of your rope, tie a knot and hold on. Another may say, well, just grin and bear it. Another one may say, cheer up, it could be worse. I don't know about you, but I've never gotten comfort from any of those cliches. None of those have ever delivered comfort to my heart. Here we find Joseph after he'd been sold by his brothers into slavery. He's carried into Egypt in a caravan. He is now a slave in the house of a man named Potiphar. And it is here that he's falsely accused of attempted rape and cast into prison. That's where our story leads us this evening. And I want to give you 5 prison principles for practicing the presence of God when nothing seems to make sense. Principle number 1, you ready? Don't demand to understand. Don't demand to understand. You know, Joseph had not sinned against God. Joseph was thrown into prison for doing the right thing. I can imagine as Joseph lay rotting in prison that the devil came slithering in and said, "Now where is your God? Where is he now? What good will it do to you now to serve God? He's obviously abandoned you." You know, if difficulty comes your way, don't try. You can try to understand it, but remember what Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 tells us in these times. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Don't try to lean on your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. These verses start off telling us not to lean on our own understanding. There will be some things that you do not understand in these times. Do not demand to understand. Don't demand an explanation from God. Isaiah 50, verses 10 and 11, the Bible says, "Who is among you that feareth the Lord?" Is that a good thing or a bad? To fear the Lord. Y'all are trying to figure it out. That's good, right? Okay. "That obeyeth the voice of his servant," good or bad? Good again, right? Then go on to this, "that walketh in darkness and hath no light." He's doing good, and he's still in the dark. He's doing good. He's fearing the Lord. He's obeying the voice of the servant of God, and God's leaving him in the dark. There is no light. He goes on to say, let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand. Ye shall lie down in sorrow. He says, when you're in the dark, when you've been doing right, when you've been fearing God, when you've been obeying the voice of his servant, he says, even in all that, when you find yourself in darkness, don't try to create your own fire. You do that, God says, I promise you'll be lying down in sorrow. You'll be lying down in sorrow. Did you know that you can be serving God and obeying God's word and still be walking in darkness? Do not get the idea that the Christian life is all about good times and everything is supposed to make sense. Some people will try to witness to somebody and they'll tell them, if you're simply trusting the Lord Jesus Christ, God will make your life wonderful. God, everything will be perfect. All your problems will go away. And can I tell you, that is a lie. God never promises that. When you read God's word, you'll find that many of God's greatest servants were walking in darkness for much of their Christian lives. Job is a great case study to prove that point, isn't he? Not only Job, but I think of where Jesus said that there is no man born of a woman greater than who? John the Baptist. What a compliment from our Savior. And yet Herod took John and threw him into prison. And John himself got so despaired that he sent messengers to ask if Jesus was even who he said he was. It takes a lot of despair to come to that point. Paul was perhaps the greatest Christian that ever lived. He penned more books of the Bible than anyone else. Yet he wrote to the Corinthians and said, "We are perplexed." That means we are without understanding. We don't get it. Now, if you think that life will always make sense, you're going to be in spiritual trouble. Because I just read in Isaiah chapter 50 where it says, "Who is among you that feareth the Lord and obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light?" That's going to happen when you're doing good. That's going to happen when you're doing everything right. If you are in darkness, don't demand to understand, but be content with the fact that God allowed it. That God allowed it. When we come to Genesis 50, we're going to find that what was happening to Joseph was all part of God's plan. Isaiah 55, 8 through 9, the Bible says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Don't try to figure out God. His ways are beyond yours. Just because it does not make sense to you does not mean that it doesn't make sense to God. And just because it does not make sense now doesn't mean it won't make sense later on. So first off, don't demand to understand. Don't demand to understand. Number two, don't fail to be faithful. Don't fail to be faithful. We find here in verse 21, The Bible says, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed into Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Here's a man who's thrown into prison for no other reason than doing right and being accused of doing wrong. Joseph has such a good attitude, however, that his attitude causes him to become the ideal servant in prison. And even in prison, he's promoted to the top. In the next chapter, we're going to find Joseph witnessing to the butler and baker, two pagans who needed God. This is the point. Even when Joseph could not understand, he was not a fair-weather Christian. He was not a fair-weather Christian. I've seen some of the most faithful members leave the church when the smallest thing did not go their way. I've seen people go through hard times and say, "Pastor, we just need a little break from serving God." And it's not long until they're not even members of a church. They take the first excuse that comes along. Even when nothing makes sense, keep on singing. Even when nothing makes sense, keep on praying. Keep on giving. Keep on witnessing. Keep on submitting to God. When nothing makes sense. Look at verse number 2. We saw this verse this morning, but let's look at it again. The Bible says in Genesis 39:2, "And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian." And so that's how he was. In slavery, the Lord was with him. And then going on to verse number 21, "But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison." The Lord was with Joseph, first off, when he was in slavery, then second off, when he was in prison. The same God that was with Joseph in the good times was with Joseph in the bad times. He was with him in both times. So, don't demand to understand. And then, don't fail to be faithful. And then thirdly, don't bow to bitterness. Do not bow to bitterness. Look at chapter 40, if you will. Verse 14, the Bible says, "But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon." So Joseph here does the butler a tremendous favor. He interprets his dreams. He gives him hope that he's going to be restored back to service. It does him a great favor. And all he asks him to do in return is mention him to the king. By the way, the butler fails to do that immediately, doesn't he? If you notice, when Joseph explains his situation to the butler, he never mentions his brothers, does he? If I told the story, I would say, "Let me tell you about those rascals of brothers that I have. Let me tell you what they did to me." You notice when he talks to him, he never mentions Potiphar's wife. He never complains. He never tears her up. It never comes to his mind. I find that interesting. The one who sold him into slavery, he didn't talk about them. The one that got him thrown in prison, he doesn't even mention her. He simply leaves them with God. He simply leaves them with God. When you are faithful in serving God and you are punished for it, don't get bitter. 1 Peter 2:20, "For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it and take it patiently, this is acceptable with God." We need to be very careful in this matter of bitterness. It's a slow poison that eats away at your spirit. You know, bitter people are not nice to be around. We knew a mother and a daughter in a church that the mother had a bad situation in her life, tragic situation. Her mother had passed away. Terrible car accident. Actually, it was her mother and her brother. And years later, a few years later, her dad found love again and married. And the daughter got very bitter about that. She got very bitter, and you could see her bitterness not only towards her dad, but it wasn't long before she was bitter towards everybody. I mean, she would attack this person, attack that person, attack the other. It just began to grow beyond the root. And she had a daughter that followed in the same steps. And then it doesn't matter where she went. The mother, if she went to work, everybody at work was mean. And if she went to church, everybody at church was mean. And no matter where she went, everybody was mean. And the daughter began to follow the same pattern. And literally, I kid you not, the daughter would come home and say, everybody at school was mean. And the mom transferred her to another school. And then everybody at that school was mean. And she moved her to another school and moved her and moved her and moved her around. That's what bitterness does. I know somebody who got bitter over a church that she had gotten in a small accident. She had some surgery on her leg, and she had asked the church if they could drive her around to various places, and they didn't do it. And she said, "I can't believe that this church that I give my money to won't drive me around to places I want to go." Let me say, first off, when you give, you're not giving to the church. You're giving what you owe to God. When you tithe, you're not being kind. You're simply being obedient. That would be like me paying my utility bills and then calling the utility company and saying, "Can you drive me around?" "No, we're not going to do that. But I've given you all that money." "No, I didn't. I owed them that money." And when you tithe, you owe God that money. That's what you owe Him. That's what the Bible teaches. But bitterness would do that. And if you are always looking towards people to supply your needs and expect everyone to recognize your work, you're always going to be disappointed. You see, the true test of Christian character is not how you react when you're being punished for wrongdoing, but how you react when you are being persecuted for right doing. How do you react when you are persecuted for right doing? Joseph did right and was persecuted, but he never shows a shred of bitterness because he knew that God was with him. He knew the presence of God. He knew ultimately it wasn't his brother's fault and it wasn't Potiphar's wife's fault, but rather there's a bigger picture here. God allowed it and God had a reason for it. So don't bow to bitterness. And then fourth, don't be unwilling to wait. Don't be unwilling to wait. Look at chapter 40, if you will, in verse 23. "Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him." He had to wait. I'm sure Joseph in his mind played it out. I told the butler his dream. He's restored. And the first thing he's going to do, the very first thing he's going to do, he's going to talk to me about to Pharaoh, and he's going to tell him what I did, and Pharaoh's going to come down here and let me out and maybe give me a position. That was not the first thing the butler did. It wasn't the second thing he did. It wasn't the third thing he did. It wasn't the 100th thing he did. It wasn't the 1,000th thing he did. You forgot. The first thing he did was forget. Look at chapter 41 and verse 46. The Bible says, "And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt." You know that Joseph was a teenager when God gave him the dream? He's 30 now. It's a long time to wait, isn't it? That's a long time to wait. Joseph was cast into prison when he was probably about 20. He received his dream when he was probably about 17 years old. He is now 30 years old. He spent one-third of his life rotting away in prison. When things don't seem to make sense, don't get hasty. Don't get feverish. Don't get impatient. The Bible says in Psalm 37, 5 through 9, "Commit thy ways unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass, and he shall bring forth thy righteousness as a light, as a judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him." I would underscore that, wait patiently for him. I don't know if there's a commandment I find throughout Scripture more than wait. Seems to be the number one commandment in all of the Bible is wait. Wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Over and over again in the Bible, we're told to wait on the Lord. A man once said this. He said, I know God put me here. I just don't know if he remembers where he put me. You ever feel that way? He remembers. God knows where you are. He knows the very numbers of hairs on your head, and I'm making that number smaller every year for him. The same God that was with Joseph when he was a child, loved by his father, was the very same God that was with him while he was an adult, languishing in prison for a decade. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. What does that mean? It's whenever he wants to. Not necessarily when you want him to, but when he wants to. A verse we read in Psalm 37 said, he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light and thy judgment as a noonday. Two facts about the sun rising. Number one, you cannot rush it. And number two, you cannot stop it. You cannot rush it and you cannot stop it. And that's how God is. When God rewards you, you can't rush the reward. But aren't you glad you also can't stop it? God's going to reward you when he wants to. Alexander, and forgive me with this last name, but Solzhenitsyn, it's the best way I could pronounce it. He was a great literary genius from Russia. Some of y'all may have heard his name. He was in the Russian labor camps. They would work them and beat them and treat them like animals until all of their will to live was drained out of them. In those Russian prison camps, labor camps, they had guards everywhere, pointing guns at them, and any wrong move could cost a prisoner his life. One day, Alexander decided to commit suicide. He knew that if he committed suicide, that God would be against it. But he reasoned that if he ran in front of the guards and they shot him, perhaps it wouldn't be suicide in God's eyes. Now, the prisoners were not allowed to talk to one another. There were strict rules. But right when he was about to run in front of the guards, a fellow prisoner walked right beside him, took a stick, and with the stick he made a cross in the ground. Without speaking, he drew a cross on that ground, and Alexander took it as a sign from God that he was still with him. So he decided to wait on God and see what would happen, and 3 days later he was in Switzerland, a free man. By the way, I love that story because the cross was drawn. It was drawn on the ground, and 3 days later, he was free. What a great story. I don't think it was coincidence. God's timing's best. God knows what you're going through. God knows when you've had as much as you can take. Just wait on him. Just wait on him. The fifth thing is this. Don't let your dreams dissolve. Look at verse 38, if you will. Chapter 41, verse 38. The Bible says, and Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a man as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand, and arrayed him with the vestures of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. What a great ending, huh? Joseph was given a dream. He was 17 years old. The dream was that one day he would be among the world's leaders. And in fact, among the world's leaders, they would bow down to him. The other leaders would bow. His brothers would bow. His parents would bow. His brothers laughed at his dream, and they tried to stop it. But Joseph never let his dream dissolve because he recognized it was from God. Adrian Rogers said this, it's in your notes, don't doubt in the dark what God has shown you in the light. Can you do me a favor? You can read off your notes if you want. But why don't we say that together? Ready? Don't doubt in the dark what God has shown you in the light. Let's do that one more time. Don't doubt in the dark what God has shown you in the light. You know, sometimes God shows us amazing things when everything's going great. But when things get dark, we begin to doubt those things. Don't doubt in the dark the things that God's shown you in the light. His slave's hands were now wearing rings of royalty. Off goes the slave's clothes, and on goes beautiful garments that the king had for him. Off goes the iron chains, and on goes a gold chain around his neck. I was thinking about this. Potiphar was the head of the Egyptian guard. I can imagine one day he gets up in the morning and gets ready and has breakfast and looks over to his wife and he says, honey, remember the young man you accused of trying to rape you? I sure hope for your sake that you are honest about that. Well, why is that, honey? Well, I report to him tomorrow. I report to him tomorrow. Could you imagine? Here he was, had him thrown in prison, and now he's his boss. With more power, by the way, than your boss has over you. I report to him tomorrow. There's coming a day when God's going to make everything right. Don't lose your faith when it doesn't make sense to you. Be like Joseph. Don't demand to understand. Don't fail to be faithful. Don't bow to bitterness. Don't be unwilling to wait. And don't let your dreams dissolve. God's going to make everything right one day. Can I say it may not be in this lifetime? You say, oh, I can't wait to see God take vengeance for me on those people over there. You may not see it in this life. But there's coming a day. We're going to have to answer to God for the deeds done in this body. So if it doesn't happen here, don't worry about it. In fact, if it does happen here, don't rejoice over it. God warns you about that. Don't bow to bitterness. Don't let your dreams dissolve. Just keep going forward for the Lord. Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity we have to serve you. Thank you for the opportunity we have to have your word in front of us. Father, I pray even now that you would work upon our hearts that which you desire to work, Father. And we do pray this in Jesus' name.